You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. Today we're going to cover some international. I'm talking about we cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it's Tuesday. That's all right. Listen, I have got to I've got to take my monologue opportunity here, my moment of personal privilege. And really kind of I've got to just dig into, man, we got to do something. That's kind of where I'm at. And let me ask you this. How much is it worth to you to win? When I ask that question, by the way, it's not just rhetorical. How much is it worth to you to win? Well, let me set the parameters of that discussion first of all. Understand that when I'm talking about the price of victory, I never include the cost of cheating or bribing or backstabbing, all right? There is no victory worth losing one's soul or good name over. What I am talking about is the cost to oneself and one's cause that indicates sacrifices in order to obtain the victory. With that being said, what are you determining to win is the most important question. Is it important? Is it more important than just yourself? Is it a cause bigger than yourself? Does the price of losing negatively impact the greater good? Is the cost of losing so great that it would have a generational impact? If the answer to those questions is yes, then I would say the price of victory should be whatever you're able to give plus more. In my sense right now, though, is that we are in a cultural battle. There are aspects of change that are normal. I mean, things like technology and fashion and daily lingo that we use, those are all subject to change. We expect that. I'm not referring to the old stodgy, I don't like change mentality. Get off my grass. I'm not doing that. What I am talking about is the battle over our actual culture. What is right and wrong? What is acceptable? What is true? What is honorable? And right now, me talking right now, the principles, the truths, the values of this nation that we have long been known for are literally being shredded by those who have never shared those values. And they cannot be allowed to win. I was talking to a friend early this morning. We got together for coffee before I came in. He's in the military. He's currently stationed in Germany. He was home on leave for Thanksgiving. And we were talking about this very issue. He said it's interesting to him to note that the German people, from what he can see, even though they still have their issues, they are still hyper aware of some of what occurred when the Nazis assumed power. The culture took a hard shift during that time, virtually without question, even to the extent that the Nazi Party nationalized private trusts and bank accounts. It just happened. There was no stopping it when there was no one to say no. But this very morning, I also happened to be reading about one of my favorite contemporary historical figures, Sir Winston Churchill. Churchill was not actually the Prime Minister of Great Britain until 8 months into World War II. He was the successor to Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain, who is now referred to as the Great Appeaser, the guy who didn't say no. In 1938, Chamberlain signed the Munich Agreement that effectively just gave up parts of Eastern Europe to the Nazis without a fight. And less than a year later, Hitler violated that agreement by invading Poland and World War II commenced. And when Hitler's armies advanced further into Norway, Chamberlain's appeasement policies became unbearable and he had to resign. He paved the way then for Winston Churchill to assume the role of prime minister in one of the darkest hours of modern history. But Churchill, he was not an appeaser. He was no shrinking violet. He knew that his call to such a time as that was for only one purpose. It was for the actual survival of British culture. Churchill wasted no time. He called for an immediate and unprecedented emergency meeting of Parliament. He delivered a short, kind of a landmark speech that is, in my opinion, the British version of the Gettysburg Address. Here's the operative part. I'll quote it for you. Just imagine it in Churchill's voice, because I'm not going to do that to you. But imagine it in Churchill's voice. He said this, "I would say to the House, as I have said to those who have joined this government, that I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I can say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might, with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of humankind. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word, it is victory. victory at all costs, victory in spite of all terror, victory however long and hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival. Let that be realized, no survival for the British Empire, no survival for all the British Empire has stood for, no survival for the urge and the impulse of the ages, that mankind will move forward towards its goal. But I take up my task with buoyancy and hope. I feel sure that our cause will not be suffered to fail among men. At this time, I feel entitled to claim the aid of all and to say, come then, and let us go forward together with our united strength. What a speech, man. What a speech. What an attitude. He was literally telling the people of Great Britain and all those leaders who had been appeasing Nazi imperialism that the line had just been drawn, the cause was too great, and the victory would come now at any cost because the price of defeat was far more than the sacrifices of victory. But the threats that I'm talking about, the ones that I'm referring to when I open my monologue here, the threats I'm talking about now, they're really far more esoteric. I know that. They are, to some people, just concepts or ideas, things that deserve to be shaped and molded and set aside at the whims of society. But if you believe that what they really are principles and truths, things that make us a better people and a successful culture, then you have to understand that we have to be busy about saying no to those who are determined to bring about the downfall of this nation. It's not enough, y'all, to just say, I believe in free speech, or I believe the Constitution should be strictly construed. It's not sufficient to simply like having freedom of religion, or to believe firmly that God made two genders and they cannot be changed. We have never been a culture that simply abdicated the well-being of our children to perpetrators. We are not a nation that requires the largesse of other nations for our own solvency. And yet all of that and more are being demanded by a vocal and uncaring minority who see culture as their playground and principles as nothing but modeling clay to be shaped as they see fit. My friends, this is the by God United States of America, and we better start acting like it. Because right now the threat is real, but it comes from within. So I'll go back to my original question. What price for victory? What sacrifices are you willing to make to preserve it? You better start thinking it through right now, because in the next 2 years, we better have that answer. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you go. There's my Gettysburg Address. I'm going to tell you, Churchill was the man for the moment. He was literally, and words can be impactful. And the words of Winston Churchill were sometimes all that sustained the British people in a time when they were physically being confronted with the loss of their culture. I'm telling you that I believe that internally we're facing the potential loss of our culture if we don't start taking active and forward steps to say no to some of the things that are being perpetrated by those who could care less about our culture. They just want what they want. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, all fired up. Back in a minute. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Got a few responses to that monologue. Allie from Athens chimed in on the text line. She was texting me back on my phone, too, a minute ago, but she also texted on the text line here. Says, neck deep, guys, neck deep. And that's a reference to another monologue I did just a few weeks ago, talking about this. Well, basically, it was a dream that I had that basically, in order to get something done to save everything that I believed that I loved in that was being held by somebody, that I had to go neck deep into some dangerous water. And that was the dream. It was an amazing dream. But anyway, so she's talking about that neck deep. I agree, Allie. Susan from Elkmont just texted in and said, have you heard the farewell address of Eisenhower? His predictions were chilling. I said, I have. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Susan, that's the speech where he was talking about the military-industrial complex. And it was a speech that basically he was on the way out, had nothing to lose, and he said, I'm giving this speech. You know what? Now that she's pointed that out to me, I got to go back and look at that one again. Jeremy from Huntsville just said, basically, just complimented it and said, and I appreciate it, Jeremy. Thank you much. Brandon from Athens said, I think this is helping. I guess he's talking about the monologue. anyway, thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you. Anyway, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you ever forget what the number is, by the way, you can go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Everything that we do is on that website and includes the phone number right there at the very top, 833-687-4448, which we like to say is 833-68-RIGHT. Trivia, you remember why, Boomer, I know you do, why the 6-8?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. 68 Mustang.
68 Mustang,
Thunderfoot.
Baby. My first car. Oh, and you remember the name,
and
Thunderfoot.
It was light blue.
It was like ice blue. Yeah. Okay. I think that was the name of it. Ice blue was the color. It was so faint that it looked white until the sun caught it a certain way, then you could see a hint of blue in it.
Nice.
It was a bad machine.
Man, I wonder where's Thunderfoot now?
I don't know. I remember the last name of the guy who bought it.
Oh.
There's a whole story about trying to sell the Thunderfoot did not want to leave.
Oh,
Thunderfoot had been with me through high school and college. I even asked Charlene to marry me in it, thinking.
Oh,
you know,
so Charlene knew Thunderfoot.
Oh, Charlene knew Thunderfoot.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. 289 board 30 over the Edelbrock torquer aluminum intake, a Holley 600 four barrel carburetor, hooker, headers, crane, cam. I used to run the streets of Huntsville in that bad boy. And if I ever found out my kids drove like I drove, it'd have been a bad day. Anyway, all right, enough of that. Hey, listen, there's plenty of stuff I got to tell you. I am in the process of potentially losing a bet with Boomer. Check the status, brother, of the podcast. So we've got a running bet. And then I got hosed by the Thanksgiving holiday. So the podcast is close to 100,000 downloads, but I said we'd get there by the end of the month, which would have been perfect, except that I forgot we had 2 days of not new download time for the holidays. What are we looking at, bud? Where are we at?
We're going to be right at 97.
Today?
Yeah, 97,000 today.
Shoot. So that means on Thursday I'm bringing donuts is what it sounds like. All right, so the deal is I'm going to miss my time hack, so I'm going to have to bring in donuts. Boomer gets to sit there and eat donuts while I do push-ups. That's the way that works.
But don't we have something else Thursday? Something exciting for everyone?
Yeah, we do.
To?
Yeah, we do.
I think we do.
So here's the deal, y'all. Just one of those moments. We try to bring stuff on this show. You know, I tell you all the time, listen to this show. My goal, I mean, the reason why Charlene and I pivoted our whole life to come do this radio show right now at this stage in our lives was because I want to be able to do what I call the four E's. I want to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain folks to know what it means to sort of walk the walk and talk the talk in today's modern world. And that being said, we try to bring you guests that we think will not only add to the show, but, you know, give you a sense of encouragement. So, that being said, yesterday we finished a major interview with a longtime Grammy Award-winning, Dove Award-winning singer-songwriter, Christian recording artist, Stephen Curtis Chapman. So we'll have that aired. You've been editing all morning, haven't
all
you?
All morning. It's good.
It wasn't like you had to do like Ted Nugent editing and
no,
bleep out the cuss words.
No bleeping.
There were no bleepings required on this one, but
yeah, it was just, you know, just normal editing.
Yeah, just making it sync up to our advertising breaks and all that
that's
kind
right,
of stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, you're gonna enjoy that. We're gonna air it. We think, Boomer, 3 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, we'll start going out on social media tonight, promoing that bad boy. And I mean, just a great. I mean, he was so cool, and you've known him for a long time.
Yeah, we were family friends with him, and up in Nashville, and
he sang
just
at
a
your
great
wedding.
Guy. He got to sing at my wedding. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I like the way you said that. He got to sing at your wedding as opposed to you got to have him sing at your wedding.
He got to sing at my wedding. It was our special day, right?
That's right. Thank you very much. Yes. All right. Well, listen, that's going to be Thursday, 3 o'clock, and there it is. What's this text line from Paul from Athens? All he says is excuses.
He's talking about the
podcast. That's right. Paul. Dadgummit. Anyway, all right, we're doing it. Hey, listen, we're going to be unpacking some serious business today. So the Triple Dipper is loaded up with what I would call sort of high-level, heavy topics. We're going to unpack them. Man, I have spent some time digging in on this stuff. The level of resourcing on this first section about China imploding is even more than usual. I finished it up super early this morning before the crack of dawn, and sent it to Boomer, and he got it all ready for me to then come back in and start highlighting. And so, yeah, China imploding is a major – we got to watch this, because I've got one article that points out that these complete social upheavals in, you know, tyrant-run countries, they can start in a flash and catch the world off guard, Libya being an example. So we're going to talk about it. China imploding, number one, Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.